Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, that's right.
Whoa.
It's a 94 WIP afternoon show. I'm Spike Eskin along with Ike Reese.
Oh, the volume's turned up in here, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I like it because we're turned up today.
Yes.
Spike, holler at your boy.
I'm a little too turned up for you.
Okay. No, I like it.
I'm so turned up. Can you give me a little more of me in my headphones? Thank you. Ike needed coffee. That's how wired I am.
How about that? Yeah.
Well, it was a big night last night. It was a big night. We are at Chickies and Pete's. It is draft week. We've got a couple more days of the draft. Enjoy all the pro football draft coverage at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's, online at chickiesandpete's.com. So after all the rumors about trading up, after all the rumors about the offensive line, after all the rumors about skill positions on offense, they did what you wanted yesterday, and they took themselves a quarterback, Quinyon Mitchell, out of Toledo. Ike, what do you think? What's your grade? How are you feeling?
Well, I'll tell you, I've become even more secured and assured in the pick they made last night. I, like a lot of people, when it comes to – let's get out of the way, get this out of the way – I don't care about all the reports that were out there, the nonsense Elliott spews. Hugh, with his nonsense, defense is a luxury. Whoever else they want an offense.
Well, yeah. Look at you attacking WIP
everybody,
staff members.
Attacking everybody.
You're not
going
to win Insider of the Year doing that kind
of stuff. I care about winning. This is about holding people accountable, Spike. And I got tired of hearing about offense and offensive linemen and nonsense leading up to this draft. And I'm glad Howie did the right thing last night. They took a defensive player at a position they hadn't drafted in over 20 years at the cornerback spot. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Quinyon Mitchell was at the top of my list of guys I wanted when it comes to that position. I obviously love the Bama corners, Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry. He didn't go last night. Arnold went two picks after Mitchell last night. But the more and more you hear about this young man, the more and more you hear people that rave about the character of him, and you start to watch his film a little bit more, and you forget about the fact that he played in the MAC and he went to Toledo. I'm very excited about the player that we got. If this guy turns out to be the guy that the Eagles expect him to be, you got a lockdown cover corner, a man-to-man cover corner. That's what you got over there, somebody that can play bump. He can play off the ball. He has the ability to play zone already. So when you're a great zone corner, in my mind, that means you're a smart football player. You understand offensive patterns. You understand down and distance situations. You know how to play leverage situations. So I love that part about him already. And when you hear him talk, seems like he has the right temperament that you want. Just enough confidence, but a nice amount of humility in there as well, because the story about him staying at Toledo instead of transferring and the loyalty and all those things are great character characteristics of someone that you want to have in your locker room and on your team, and it matches his play on the field. Obviously, the biggest question is the level of competition he went against and whether that translate to the NFL. Everybody you hear talk about him, he was the number one corner in the draft. right? So, and even I can admit that I had the other guy ranked higher because he played at an SEC school. So I love the pick. I love the fact that they addressed this position, which we needed to address. And I can't wait to see who they add with him because I want to go hunting for more defensive players today, Spike.
And there are more picks today.
Yes, sir.
Two picks today. What, do we have second and third round today?
No, two second-round picks.
Two second-round picks
today.
The 50th right,
and
right,
the 53rd. I love the pick. Loved it.
So, A. Give it an A.
I give it an A.
So, obviously, I have to rely on you. I have to rely on everybody else for their evaluation of the player himself. I don't watch a lot of MAC football. I don't watch a lot of college
Neither
football
do I.
Overall. His tape looks good. Everything I read sounds like it looks good. Honestly, we were talking about cornerbacks yesterday and the ability to tackle or not tackle. I said I didn't care, but this guy looks like he can get physical as well. Mm-hmm. So the player himself, I'm just going to have to take everyone's word for it and hope that it works out. My thought on the draft pick and the offseason in general is that the draft pick felt a little weird like the rest of the offseason did to me. This offseason, the entire time, has felt just a little bit off, a little bit non-Howie for me. It started off with, and I don't think this move specifically is un-Howie, but it started off with keeping Nick Sirianni and hiring two coordinators who have a long history, well thought of, underneath a head coach who might be on shaky ground, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a weird move. You could look at it one end and say they're creating stability in the coaching room. On the other end, you're creating instability if things get a little shaky. But that was the first thing that happened. Then they went and spent a ton of money on a running back, which again is not really what we have come to expect from the Eagles and things like that. So much so that people like Howard, like my dad, before the Saquon stuff was happening, the idea of spending a high draft pick, the idea of spending a lot of money on a running back was a little shaky.
Well, it was ridiculous, according to your dad.
Well,
because running backs fall out of trees.
Right.
That's why I'll repeat that I was the first one to say we need to go get Saquon Barkley this offseason in free agency.
Well, they'll fall out of the tree as long as you have $36 million next to the tree. They'll fall right out. Then, the way they address the defense is by a bunch of lottery tickets, I think, on some level. CJ's hurt a lot. Devin White.
I feel good about CJ.
Who knows what's going on with Devin White, right?
Okay.
It's weird. Yeah. I don't know. The Hassan Reddick trade is weird.
That's the one thing I still question.
And the Bryce Huff thing, I hope it works out, but they're paying a guy who was on the field less than half the snaps last year, right?
Yep.
So then we get to the draft, and Howie is typically aggressive, especially at that point in the draft. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the pick was bad. I don't know if it was bad. He seems like a good player. He was number one on a lot of boards, right? Mm-hmm. But just sitting there at 22 was just a little weird for me. So the whole offseason has had this unfamiliar feel to it. Now, maybe after a failure like last year was at the end of the year, maybe an unfamiliar feel is good. Maybe they needed to be unfamiliar. Yeah. All I know is I just feel a little shaky about all of it.
And I love it. And I think you've been spot on as far as it's been a different offseason when you look at what the Eagles and Howie Roseman has done in the past with his approach to the offseason, certain positions, even being aggressive in the draft. I'll address last night, I believe they wanted to move up. I believe those reports out there about Howie wanting to move up were true. Now, it was for two positions, corner, offensive lineman. You heard both sides of it. But the first reports we heard is that they were locked in on a cornerback. They were trying to move up to get. I don't believe Howie thought he would be able to get up there to get Quinyon Mitchell. What he didn't anticipate is no one else willing to move back and teams wanting their specific player at specific positions.
Well, and then they got a little lucky. The first 14 picks are all offense.
All offensive players, yes.
Quarterbacks, a couple of quarterbacks go higher than expected. So the guy that he wanted just ended up being.
Fell to him.
Just ended up being.
Fell to him. And any of those teams up there that would have wanted Mitchell could have had him if they wanted him. So it's clear that those teams didn't want to move back because they wanted specific players or positions to be filled. And so, and maybe Howie wasn't willing, the price might have been too steep. You see that price that Minnesota paid
to move up.
So maybe Howie is saying, nah, I'm not doing that. So they sit there and they wait. They probably had a handful of players that they would be okay with taking. And I don't know if one of their guys were gone or not, but this kid was clearly in that handful of players that they'd be willing to take.
Are you happy with the Eagles' selection at 22 last night of Quinyon Mitchell? 215-592-9494. Now, there is something else that happened last night.
I got to call him Rocket Man.
Something else that happened last
night. What else happened last night?
Well, there was a big basketball game here in Philadelphia between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. And Joel Embiid has been the focus of our conversations for several years. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid's failures, his inability to stay healthy in the postseason, but more so his failures in the postseason.
Yeah.
More so him disappearing when the teams needed him the most. Mm-hmm. And last night was I keep saying it through this postseason that this year is different. Joel Embiid is different. He is now the guy that we want him to be in the playoffs. And he showed that last night. 215-592-9494. Joel Embiid has spent his entire career as sort of this sad, tragic figure where bad things happen to him. He has a passive relationship with the things that happened to him. His foot broke, happened to him. His foot broke again, happened to him. Oh no, I have a co-star in Ben Simmons, won't shoot, you know, and then collapses, happened to him. We got another great player, James Harden. Oh no, you know, he disappeared in the postseason again. Oh no, he won't come to camp, blah, 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 happened to him. The breaking his orbital bone in his face happened to him. Knee injuries happened to him. And Joel Embiid, starting in the fourth quarter of the Miami game and then exemplified last night, is no longer letting those things happen to him. He is putting his will on the situation. So he came in last night, and everybody's crying about the dirty play with Mitchell Robinson, yada, yada, yada. I loved the energy that Joel Embiid had in the first half last night. Could he have gotten thrown out? He absolutely could have gotten thrown out. But he was laying on the ground, and Mitchell Robinson's foot was right over him, and he said, "This is not happening to me again. I am not allowing my team in my building with 45% Knicks fans in the stands. This is not happening to me again. Yeah. This is not Jonathan Kuminga hurting my knee again. They're not pushing us around. They've been pushing us around for too long, and I am not letting it happen again." And in the first half, he bullied them. He was lit up in a way in a playoff game that I haven't seen him before. His face, his energy was different. Now, he doesn't know how to quite channel it yet, but the team fed off of that energy. And then after they kept it close in the first half, he came out in the second half and he said, "The energy is set, the tone is set, and now I'm going to dominate." And that guy scored 50 points in a must-win playoff game against the 2 seed at home with half the crowd cheering for the other team. He put them on his back, and he brought them home. Maxie didn't quite have it last night. You know, there was a nice Kelly Oubre game, yada, yada, yada. That game last night was Joel Embiid saying, "I am here. I am the guy now, and you can feel comfortable in trusting me." And that's what Joel Embiid showed last night, and that's why I felt good about it.
That was beautiful, man.
Thank you.
I love hearing that. That was beautiful. That's usually me saying something like that here, but I'm glad to have you here because I can ride your coattails when it comes to the big fella. I can't disagree with much of what you said. I'm certainly hoping you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, I'm believing in it. But I will say this. I would be lying if I didn't say in the back of my mind, you got to finish this out. You got to win Sunday.
Yes.
You got to finish this series out.
Yes.
It was a tremendous performance last night. And you're right. He has been a different player this postseason than what I've seen in past postseasons. He has. Forget about the shooting percentages and all that stuff. I think fighting it and gutting it through the injuries that he's dealing with. I mean, Bell's palsy now. I mean, my goodness. It's something every year, but to me,
on one leg and one eye, he did that.
Yeah,
last night.
It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. You just marvel at what he's able to do at his size and what he has to go through from an adversity standpoint. But man, I just need him to finish it, Spike.
We do.
This series,
he needs to
yes,
finish.
Yes, I just need him to do it, man. Because I'm with you. I really am, and it's not. I'm not. Listen. I'm really not one of those people that I told you so and pat myself on the back and all that stuff. But there is something to sticking with a player or a team through tough times when everybody else seemingly is abandoning ship. And then they finally come through. That feeling is so gratifying. And that's why I lay my heart on the line with this dude every year, because I believe in him.
And
I believe in him.
And you know what he's doing for us now and for the rest of the team? He is laying his heart on the line back.
I agree.
He is laying his heart. Can I tell you, if I had Bell's palsy, the last thing I would be doing, if I woke up one day and one side of my face wasn't working well, the last thing I would be doing would be on national TV on a court in front of 19,000 people when I can't see.
Yeah.
But he's there. He is there. He is not letting any of this stuff stop
him. By the way, I appreciate the sunglasses last night and sitting up there.
Yes.
Thank you, big dog.
Yes. 215-592-9494.
Hey, you look cooler, so I appreciate that, man. Yeah, he looked a lot better doing it that way.
What do you think of the pick, and what do you think of Embiid? Do you trust him now? 215-592-9494. We kick it off with Corey in Columbus. You're on WIP. What's up, brother?
My man Spike, my man Ike. Hey, man, yesterday we got the trifecta. My boy, you know, Dad Bob Bryce showed up, did what he had to do. Embiid, one-eye Embiid, peg leg Embiid showed up. Closed the deal for the Sixers, and then, you know, old Howie went in the kitchen and started cooking. Hey, man, I love the pick. I love what we did adding Quinyon. I love it. I wanted the corner. I was saying it all off season. And for everybody out there, you know, the ESPs of the world, all listen, nobody cared. Nobody cared about Sauce Gardner. Everybody loves Sauce
Gardner.
That's true. He ain't playing against no – he came from Cincinnati. And you heard Saban last night on the set. He said he was the number one guy we wanted in the portal. What's the portal? You ain't transferring the team to sit on the bench, so that's telling you only two corners play. One of them Alabama corners wasn't going to play. He said that was the number one guy I wanted to start on Toledo. So I love the pick. Let's see what we got to do today. Also, Spike, your dad, the king, he got a 3-1 lead breaking that A.J. Brown story with the –
We'll get to that later.
Go Birds, baby. Go Birds.
Good call, Corey. We will get to Eagles Insider of the Year rankings later. It was a big day yesterday.
Don't put the king in the corner, man.
Well,
he fights his way out.
We issued a challenge. Of course, he had a big day. We'll get to Eagles Insider of the Year rankings later. Of course, he had a big one with AJ, but there might have been some negatives there, too. So we'll get to that as well.
Yeah, because I know one at least.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of rules with Eagles Insider of the Year. Doug in Williamstown, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up, Doug?
Hey, Spike, I want to thank you for that, giving Embiid praise and doing that, because all day long it's been nothing but negativity. This is what you wanted from him. He finally does it, and I kick off the show the morning with John and Richie, and the first thing Joe does, got thrown out of that game. He's lucky he didn't. Instead of being happy, it's like the whole day started off like that. And then he's like, I think they drafted – I think them signing A.J. Brown is because they might get rid of Jalen Hurts. It's like, that's how my day started today. So thank you for starting off with some positivity today.
Well, if we're being fair, early in Joe's career here, I might have coached him up for stuff like that. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it. What do you think of the pick?
The pick is awesome. I love the corner. I think he is the best corner, and I'm happy with it. But I also think what you were saying about Howie, I think my hat's off to Howie, because I think he's adjusting to the rules of the new NFL. He's seen what a running back can do. Things are changing. And I like, and the same thing with Big Red doing in Kansas City. They're adapting. And I'm happy he's adapting this way. Yeah. I like everything he's done so far. And I hope he goes with it. I want to see a linebacker in the next two rounds. Then I'll really pass out.
I like it.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
I think we do go linebacker tonight.
You think so?
I do. I think we go defense again. I think we go linebacker and D-lineman.
Do you think we're going to get the linebacker we've been talking about?
Depends on which one.
Well.
You talking about nephew?
No, I'm talking about Trot. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Nephew? Yep. I don't know. I much not wanting to be drafted here, if I'm being honest, and that's what we do here, I don't feel it. Well, I don't feel it with the Eagles. Put it that way. I don't feel it with the Eagles.
Let me ask you this. Forgetting about what they think of him, the idea of – Jack and I were talking about this the other day. And Jack is off today, but we'll get to him later. We will get to Fritz later. No Fritz today, but we'll get to Fritz later. We were talking about – he asked me, do you think for his career, getting drafted in Philadelphia is the best thing. And I had to think about it. Overall, it just seems like there's more obstacles if he gets drafted in this town than
sure.
if he was someone else.
Oh,
it,
for sure.
It actually makes it harder on
for
him.
Sure.
Yeah.
For sure, because we're I don't know, though. I think there's such a love affair with Jeremiah Senior that as impatient as we can be at times, I think we would handle Junior with kid gloves. I don't think we would be as vicious and as critical about him.
Well,
I think because I think there is a respect for Jeremiah Senior that we wouldn't. I just don't believe we would go as hard as we would as some other guys who don't have that sort of connection.
Well, even that aside, and I agree with you. Even that aside, the expectations.
You just mean expectation-wise
for him,
sure.
And what it's like for him, and yeah, honestly, coming from sort of.
The same like thing. Yep, I understand what you're saying.
A similar situation. If I was 22,
yeah.
I would not be able to deal with what is going on now here with what I'm doing now. At 47, I'm an adult. I've been through a lot.
Right.
So it's different for me with Trot coming. If nephew was coming back at 27 years old,
yeah.
after a couple of Pro Bowls, that's different than coming here as a 22-year-old rookie.
Yeah, I get that part of it, but. This kid is mature beyond his years, and with the name Jeremiah Trotter Jr., he's had that over his head his entire life. Like, he's had that pressure over his head his entire life. He excelled in youth football with his dad putting the pressure on him. He went to St. Joe's Prep and excelled there, starting off as a freshman at that school with the pressure of being his dad there. And he went to Clemson, again, with the pressure of being his dad. So he's had that ever since he put a helmet on. And that pressure is always going to be there. He can't hide from it because of his name. So everybody is going to have that high expectation. And he's handled it with no problem. He's handled it with no problem. He's humble. The humility is there. Because, you know, you get some kids that would feel like they could be full of themselves at that point. But he's not like that. I think, honestly, I think he would be okay here. I think he would be fine here. I really do. I think he would excel here. But I'm just saying, I don't get the sense that's the direction the Eagles are going to go in.
Right.
I think he would be fine here. No
and
problem.
And the linebacker personnel they already have,
yeah.
he seems to be like he would not quite fit. He's not exactly what they need at the linebacker position based on what they have already.
Yeah.
You know. So, what do you think? Do you like the pick of Quinyon Mitchell? 215-592-9494. What grade do you give it? And do you now trust that Embiid is a different guy? Has he turned the corner? Can he lead them back, not just in this series, but do you feel better about the future? 215-592-9494. The WIP Afternoon Show is at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Nothing goes better with playoff basketball than Chickies and Pete's. Pre-game, in-game, or post-game online at chickiesandpete's.com. Coming up next, not only does Ike like the pick, Howie will explain to you why he liked the pick, and experts explain to you why they like the pick, and finally, what Nick Saban had to say about the pick.
Coach.
That is next on the Afternoon Show on 94 WIP.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a WIP afternoon show. Ike Reese, I'm Spike Eskin. Fritz is off. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Baseball is better at Chickies and Pete's. Pre-game, in-game, or a post-game feast. Find a location near you online at chickiesandpetes.com. So, as is tradition, Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman spoke after the draft last night about the pick, about A.J. Brown, so on and so forth. Here's what Howie had to say about why he decided to pick Quinyon Mitchell with the 22nd pick.
In this case, we think we have an extremely talented, hardworking outside corner. So he's got all the tools in his body, the right mentality. We felt like we had really good information. Coach did an unbelievable job because of his connections at Toledo, really kind of relaying those thoughts and, you know, us having the same conversations with the coaches. He really had a great process. And when you think about kind of his, he had a chance to transfer out of Toledo last year. He stayed there. He came back. He got better. He went to the Senior Bowl. He really checked the whole offseason process boxes one by one off.
Now, of course, they had more information on him that you would typically have because of Nick Sirianni's relationship with the head coach of Toledo. I don't know how much Sirianni has to do with the picks themselves, but him being involved in this one, I think it's not only is it good to get more intel on the guy, but I think it's a good sign for Sirianni because I think on some level, what he told them was what was taken to be valuable, you know, the intel that he ended up getting.
Yeah, and probably when you have guys that may be ranked or rated so close, as Terrion Arnold was also rumored to be one of the guys that was right there in the mix, you're looking for different things that would separate the two. And so having that extra intel on the character of Quinyon Mitchell, maybe that's what gave him the edge for the Eagles. Now, this backfired against us with the Rager pick.
Oh, right.
Remember? Because they knew Monte Rager, who played here. And so that was sometimes it can backfire against you. Just because it makes you a little more comfortable taking a guy, it doesn't necessarily always work. But I still love the fact that they had the extra information to help them make that decision.
Yeah, sometimes more information, if you have less information on another guy, you could end up taking that more information too seriously.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It can end up being too impactful.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Do you like the Eagles pick at 22 as well? Do you believe that Embiid can lead the Sixers back, that he's a different player now? Brahim, you're on WIP.
Yo, what up, Spike? What up, Ike?
What up, bro?
Hey, what's good? I just want to say this. I think basketball fans in general have gotten way soft. And I just want to say this, y'all. I'm 48 years old. My first introduction to the Sixers was when I was 7 years old. My pop took me to meet the entire championship team. I've been a fan ever since. I've been going to the Spectrum back then, played on the Spectrum floor. And I come from the era of 80s and 90s basketball, and I feel like the first two games, we got pushed around, out-muscled, outclassed. So everybody talking about Embiid, it was a dirty play. Nah, you know what? Somebody needed to do something. I wanted somebody to come off the bench and punch somebody in the mouth. Like, we can't keep getting pushed around. And if that's what it needed to be done, then that's what needed to be done. But somebody had to do something. You know what I'm saying? And so, for me, the Sixers is much more like it when I try to talk to your dad, Spike, because I feel like he roots against us. But my thing is, the Sixers is way more than Josh Harris, them trying to put a stadium downtown. It's me and my dad, and I root for the laundry. Yeah. And I like them Villanova boys, but they wearing the wrong laundry right now. So you know what? They got to catch all of this. They want to be muscle. They want to jump in everybody's face. They want to push everybody. They want to rob us out of a game. Nah, somebody going to catch something. So you know what? I love Joel Embiid, yo. I love Joel Embiid. And I'm so happy for him that he was able to come through. Like, I always knew he could come through. And he's battling through a lot of stuff right now. So I got nothing but respect, and I love him. As far as the pick goes, dude, I wanted a corner the whole time, and I think Howie did a bang-up job. We didn't have to use no assets, and he went ahead and did his thing, and now we can go ahead and still address things in the second round. You know what I mean? So I just want to say this, y'all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sixers. Let's go.
I love it. Thanks, Raheem.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he was talking about basketball fans being soft or whatever. Look, I think the reaction to all this is a little bit too much, you know, the reaction to what Embiid did. And I also thought the reaction to the ref screw up the other night was too much.
Yeah.
But as far as people being soft, look, the Sixers don't have to play this way, and Embiid doesn't have to do that. This is the way the Knicks play.
Yep.
The Knicks grab, push, pull. You know, Dante DiVincenzo knocked Embiid over earlier this season, you know, could have hurt him then. They set the tone. I give them credit. They muscled the Sixers the first two games. They set the tone. So if this is how we're going to play, and I think the refs even said it to an extent last night by not calling everything and sort of and letting Embiid stay in the game. If this is the game that they're going to want to play, it's the game the Sixers are going to have to play. And I was encouraged that Embiid took it upon himself to say, okay, we're going to do this too now.
And listen, he had to be the one. We don't have Jimmy Butler here. We don't have, Mike, who was our tough guy. He was fighting with the fans in the parking lot.
Oh, Mike Scott.
Mike Scott. Yeah,
we don't have P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, or P.J. Tucker. Yeah, even better. No P.J. Tucker here. So somebody had to be the heavy in this situation, and it was Joel Embiid. I mean, Tobias is soft as cotton. You know he wasn't going to do it. Oubre, you don't know. Sometimes he reminds me of a space cadet. You don't know where he's at mentally at times. And I almost don't even want him doing anything because he may go over the board with his aggressiveness. And other than Kyle Lowry, I don't know who else could have done it. So it really had to be Joel Embiid.
It's certainly not going to be Maxey.
Nah,
God bless him.
Nah, it's not going to be Maxey. No.
It's not going to be Maxey.
No.
So after the Eagles made
it. And it seemed like the players appreciated it.
Absolutely.
His teammates, they fed off of it.
We'll play the sound later, but Maxey specifically said that Embiid set the tone for the game and let the players know that they were not going. This is not going to happen here.
And not in our house, yeah.
Not here, not in our house, not this game.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, you know, you weren't the only one that was positive on the pick. The folks over at ESPN were real positive on the Quinyon Mitchell pick as well.
Yeah, you're getting somebody that can set the tone for your defense, somebody that's going to show up and do things the right way. And we talk about at a small school, has he gone against the big-time talent? Has he been across the line of scrimmage from a Marvin Harrison Jr., from some of the other players? He showed that against in the game against Ohio State, and he showed that at the Senior Bowl when he went down there and went against every receiver from a Power 5 school. It didn't matter. One-on-one drills, he put on the show. I was watching it on the television, and you're like, man, this kid is jumping off the screen. It didn't matter. Winning every route, the ability to mirror, to play man, the man turn, the zone turn, he can do it all. And when you start the process, you got to finish it off. He went to the combine and finished it off running 4.33. So someone who did things the right way, and it just shows everybody out there, it doesn't matter what school you go to, if you perform and you do things the right way and you follow the process and you follow every step, you too can be a first-round pick.
You know, the thing I like that he said about it and has been said many times, and you even mentioned it as well, is given what happened on the team last year, the fact that everyone is saying this is a loyal guy, a culture guy, a team guy, a guy that worked to get where he is, I think it's good for the locker room to add a guy like that.
Yes.
I'm all for talent, absolutely, but secondary to talent, as far as what kind of a teammate
is he going to fit in this locker room?
Absolutely. Yes. And they need he needs to be part people need to be part of even establishing what that means to fit into this locker room, because I think part of that fell apart last year. You know, the biggest leaders were in year 15, 16 or whatever, and that doesn't have the same effect on a 23-year-old player that a guy in his prime leading the team is going to be, I think.
I agree. And there's something to having when you take a guy in the first round, this is a franchise building block. So you want to have a guy that's going to be a culture setter, that's going to be an example for guys that come behind him. He's getting the opportunity to learn from some veterans in his first year. I love his answer last night when asked, did he expect to come in and start or play or this and that and the other? He gave you the answer he should have given you, which is, whatever they need me to do, I can play inside, I can play outside. I got some great veterans in front of me. He named both Slay and Bradberry and said, wherever the team needs me to play, I'll be willing to play. But I'm just looking forward to coming in and competing, but also learning from those two veterans that are in front of me.
Absolutely. I thought it was interesting, too. We had talked with
Raul. When in reality, it should only be one of those veterans here by the time the season starts.
But it'll be. It's not going to just be one of those.
If we're lucky.
Yeah. I wonder which veteran you don't think should be
if
here.
If we're lucky, it will just be one.
I wonder which one.
I'm just saying.
We had talked with Ross, and we talked when we had actually with Baldy, and as we had done YouTube Big Board, which of course I do with a wink and a nod the entire time. But it seems like everybody's big boards were blown up to pieces last night, just about where everyone was ranked. I mean, not just within the draft itself, but within position.
Sure.
You know, the amount of sliding and moving around. I am sure that every team's big board looks completely different than any other team's big board. I would imagine that there is more variation in there than we see in mock drafts and big boards publicly.
Yeah, and then you also got to look at it, even when they put their big board together, even though teams will tell you, we're not drafting for needs, we're going to take the best player available, that's really not what happens. They are prioritized based on where holes need to be filled.
Well, you're not taking the best player available. If you've got, like, the Packers, let's say, the Packers are not taking the best player available if it's a quarterback.
Right.
Of course not. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not true. It's not always true. 215-592-9494. Hassan in Strawberry Mansion. You're on WIP.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon.
What's up, Hassan?
First off, Spike, long time no speak to.
What's up, man? Good to hear from you.
I totally agree with your initial take on Howie when you started the show with everything you said about it being a different year and all of that. I love the pick. Absolutely love it. And Nick Saban sealed the deal for me with his comment. For sure. Any doubt I might have had, because I know for years I've been crying about get me a player from one of these schools that I watch on Saturday every weekend. and Joe, he went and saw the Wizard and came back with some heart. I've been waiting for that Joe since forever. I've got a shirt that says Bully Ball that I won from you guys from doing some contest, who knows. And the shirt irritates me on the back because it says Bully Ball, and it was never a bully on that team. Like any of that. But they looked like the bullies last night. Even Chencho tried to start it, and Joe finished it.
They all followed him. It's so important, and thank you for the call, Hassan. It's so important. It's good to have guys like P.J. Tucker, leaders that are not the best player on the team, but really, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. Your best players on the team have to lead the other players on the team.
See, I was the P.J. Tucker on the team.
Yeah, which is important to have those guys.
Yes,
but that can't be the only.
You still needed Brian Dawkins or Jeremiah Trotter to actually do the real leading.
100%. You need both,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Tom Brady looked off. Reese in the middle of the field.
Hey.
No, Jack, but you're still getting
exactly.
Hit from the studio. Now, he mentioned, a couple of people have mentioned what Nick Saban had to say about Quinyon Mitchell, and I thought that was really, really interesting. Here's what he had to say.
Well, you know, he was our number one guy in the portal last year to try to get to come out of the portal.
Yeah.
And he had never get in the portal, so it was...
Right.
But, you know, this guy is a really good player. He's got everything. He tackles decently. He can play man-to-man. He plays the ball in the deep part of the field. I wasn't sold on this guy because the MAC doesn't have great speed. It's not a speed league, so I'm worried about level of comp when I'm watching him. But at the Senior Bowl, this guy guarded him better than anybody.
Yeah. Right.
He really did.
His stock went to
and I think that's where his stock went up. And, I think they're getting a really good player.
So it's really telling hearing Saban say that he was their number one guy in the portal because if he had gone into the portal, because if Saban wants him, that means that you could make the assumption that Saban thinks that he could play over one of the guys he already has, and those are guys that we are talking about who are, you know, first round, second round type of talent. So if he has Mitchell up there, I think that means a lot.
And I'll tell you, knowing Coach, that is his position. That's the position he takes most pride in, in evaluating, scouting, developing, and everything else. I think he's a former DB himself when he played in college, so he loves the cornerback position. So when he gives you the stamp of approval, that's pretty big. It doesn't mean he's always right with his corners, but I'm just telling you, that's a position that he takes pride in as far as evaluating and knowing good players when he sees one.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it speaks to directly the concerns about him as a player who didn't play in a major football conference. If Saban thinks he can play in that conference, now, he might be right, he might be wrong, but I will take his evaluation over no evaluation. He's saying, I think he can play in the SEC, I think that says something good about Mitchell.
And they wanted to see him at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
They wanted to see what he looked like against some of the other top receivers around the country and everything else, and he came out of that Senior Bowl ranked as the number one corner, even if it was just slightly ahead of Terrion Arnold. He still came out, and it says even more because he didn't play at Alabama or Oklahoma or LSU or somewhere. So for him to come out and people view him as the top corner in college football or in this draft, that says a lot about his skill set.
215-592-9494 if you want to talk about the pick, if you want to talk about Embiid. Bruce in D.C., you are on WIP. What's up, Bruce?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, man. I am just super fired up about this pick with the DB. I have been one of those people that has been, at least my perspective is, you know, get the DB because this is something that's an area of need. And despite all the talk about O linemen and all these other, it just didn't make no sense to go on the offense that side first. So, hey, I'm singing praises, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe in the second round that we could shift back to maybe getting an offensive lineman. But I would like to prefer to get a linebacker because what's happened with this draft is there's some really good linebackers that have fallen into the second round. So I think that the Eagles can take advantage of it. They may have to even move up a little bit, but they shouldn't have to spend a whole lot to go that route. But I think we're in prime position to do that, and then we can get another O lineman or a defensive lineman. We got to pick in the litter. I think things are looking great for us.
Appreciate the call, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
I thought now I didn't go back and look at previous drafts, but I can't imagine. There was another draft when there wasn't a defensive player taken in the draft until the 15th pick. And I don't know, you could say Howie all this offseason felt like it was going to be a draft like that, felt like he could capitalize on it, you know, because they needed defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
It really says a lot about where the league is, though, that quarterbacks that did not have high grades, we didn't think, or had lower grades than top 10, top 15 picks ended up going high. And the fact that a defensive player doesn't get picked until the middle of the first round is just crazy. It says a lot about where the NFL is right now, I think.
Yeah, I guess you can come away thinking that. I kind of just look at it like it was a weird draft this year. The teams up near the top half of the draft just didn't have a need for a defensive player. Maybe an offensive lineman was something they needed more desperately. Quarterbacks or something they needed more desperately. Because here's a clear example of that. Denver. Clearly Denver took a quarterback out of desperation because they don't have a second round pick. So they decided to get their quarterback, even though he may not have been the 12th best player in the draft, but it was a position of need for them to fill.
It was, you know, speaking of picking quarterbacks, the Falcons taking Penix after
a little surprise
after
there.
Cousins. But you know, you look at it, I don't know, maybe it gives the guy a chance to blossom and grow rather than getting thrown into the fire right away. You know?
I agree. Last night I my head almost popped off my shoulders when this pick was coming up. And they Elliott and Hugh were saying that it could be a quarterback, and I'm like, what the hell? Why would Atlanta take a quarterback? And they just signed Kirk Cousins for $180 million. So I slept on it. I got up today, and I'm looking at some of the shows, and everybody's having the initial knee-jerk reaction of what the hell are the Falcons doing? And you had a few people come on and try to rationalize what they may be thinking. And it sort of makes sense. If he can sit for 2 years, let's say he sits for 2 years. they still have the fifth-year option to pick up on him. So they still have 3 years of his service on a rookie contract without having to give him a new deal. They can move on from Kirk Cousins. It's money. The Eagles already proved that it doesn't matter if you sign a guy and give him a big signing bonus. You got to take a cap hit. You just got to take a cap hit. And so if the Falcons got to take a $40 million cap hit, what do they care? They have their quarterback of the future.
Well, and how many years did Jordan Love sit in Green Bay? Was it
two
yeah. years, you know? And that's how it used to be
yep.
all the time in
Aaron
the NFL.
Aaron Rodgers sat 2 years.
You're right.
Well, Steve and Young he's still
sat,
playing.
Steve Young sat 7 years. Well, especially when quarterbacks, you know, they age differently than
sure.
the other positions do,
totally
especially
agree.
Now. They can play into their 40s.
Yep.
You know, you're not past your prime at 35, 36 years old.
And he's not a running quarterback.
Right.
He's a pocket quarterback.
Right.
So he has even a greater chance to have a long career versus somebody who puts himself in danger as a runner or somebody that you're worried about losing athleticism as he gets older. So after I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? I guess it's not as bad of a pick as it seemed initially, and I love Penix Jr.
Yeah.
I think he has a chance to be the best quarterback in the draft. Certainly no worse than the second or third best quarterback in the draft.
215-592-9494. PC in Jersey does not like the pick. Why not?
So look, it's not like I hate the pick. Hey, nice to talk to you guys.
You as well.
It's just that, look, I think this is the time of year when as soon as the pick comes out, everybody's just all pro-positive, positive everything, putting the most positive spin on it. So think about the transfer portal thing, right? So he didn't transfer, he's so loyal, oh no, like Alabama really wanted him. One way to think about it is what you guys have been talking about in some of the callers, but the other way to think about it is, you know, he saw the depth chart, he didn't think he could hack it there, he didn't think he could earn playing time there. And so he'd rather be a big fish in a small pond, right? And, you know, it's a little unfair to the guy, and I don't 100% believe this, but this is the exact same setup as the Rager thing, right? Where Rager versus Justin Jefferson, small school, big school, hey, this guy looks great on tape, versus the guy with the pedigree. So I just want to pump the brakes on it a little bit, because this is the time when the optimism gets a little bit, the train leaves the station a little too quickly.
Now, hey, listen, PC, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. There is a lot of truth in what he's saying, that we want to feel optimistic about the pick, so we sort of talk ourselves into the pick, even though there wasn't a bunch of people yelling that's who they wanted, Kenyon Mitchell. Most of us want to go with the guy that we're more familiar with, which are the Alabama guys. So I totally get what you're saying, PC. That's why my initial reaction last night was, I like the position, love the position. They addressed it. I like him as a player, but they had better be right because he's going to be judged against Terrion Arnold pretty much until it's proven we took the right guy.
Well, and the truth is with all this stuff, there's confirmation bias with all this stuff. If you go back to the Embiid thing, if you don't like Embiid, your position on what he did last night could be he lost control of his emotions, should have been thrown out, got lucky that hit a bunch of threes in the
right.
third quarter. In fact, I know somebody in my family who may say those exact things. So I agree with what you're saying, PC. I think, but this is, I know you're saying that optimism sort of, you know.
It doesn't mean it's wrong because we're,
yeah,
because we feel good about it.
I guess we'll just see with all
yeah.
of that. I could see what you're saying just as easily as I could see the other way. I think, though, at the draft, we all want to be positive. I mean, this is the
right.
time that it feels good to feel good, if that makes any sense. And if he stinks, we'll find out soon
yeah, believe
enough.
Me, yeah. yeah, believe me, it will turn.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, PC. Our Twitter poll of the day is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. The question, after last night, has Joel Embiid regained your trust? Yes or no? What do you think the vote is?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, after a 50 piece?
Yeah, 68% yes. 68%
wow.
yes, 32%. There's still doubt.
Yeah, if you would have asked me, I would have said 70. Yeah. I would have said 75, yeah.
People are dug in. People
yeah.
are dug in on both sides of this, you know.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, I do think if he finishes off the Knicks, I think we do the same poll after he finishes off the Knicks, and I think it's 92% yes,
yep.
something like that. So coming up next, Ike mentioned Eagles Insider of the Year candidate Elliot Shore Parks earlier. He did have a really well-known former NFL great receiver question his football credentials.
Really?
On the internet last night.
Oh, I missed that.
So we will talk to Elliot, and we will ask his feedback, and we will play you that audio next.
I'll tell you, that boy Elliot, there's no limit to his reach.
Gets into something every time. 215-592-9494. We'll do that next on the afternoon show at 94 WIP, live from Chickies in South Philly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.